Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy's back. She's back with us and she's loaded. You're going to like what she's got to say. What are we talking about today, Billy?
Well, we're going to talk all this week about the prophecies in the Psalms.
Oh, that'll be good.
You know, before we've talked about Ezekiel, we've talked about Revelation, we've talked about Daniel, all prophets.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of prophecies in the Psalms. David, of course, was a prophet. And first we'll talk a little bit about the prophecy part of this, what we're looking at. And this comes from a Jewish source in that they're writing in the Treasar. The link between the Creator and His creatures by means of prophecy is one of the foundations of the creation of the world. Hmm. We were talking about this at breakfast this morning because the Lord has really been dealing with Brother Copeland about his call to the prophet's ministry. So when Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in that hospital visit and talked to him an hour and a half, he talked to him about the utmost importance of teaching his people how to follow him in the last days. But he also talked to him about the prophet's ministry. He talked to Brother Hagin about his own prophet's ministry. And then Brother Hagin, of course, put that into a book and put that into teachings. And Brother Copeland's, it's been kind of, I would say in Brother Copeland's life, it's like a stirring again for him to move in the prophet's office and the Lord showing him that. So we talked this morning about this very statement, the link between the Creator and His creatures by means of prophecy is one of the foundations of the creation of the world. So we're linked to God, and we've had prophets in the Old Testament, and we've had prophets in the New Testament. We still have prophets. I mean, I grew up thinking you only had evangelists and pastors. But no, there are five minister gifts, right? Apostles, mm-hmm. prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers in our the church, the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. So we still have prophets. And when Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and he talked to him about prophets, he said, the prophets of the Old Testament and the prophets of the New are alike in many ways. God is linking himself to mankind and speaking down through prophets. But the Lord said they're different in one aspect. And you'll catch it with this. Also, this is from Treasar. Twice as many prophets arose among the Jews as there were Israelites who left Egypt. Only such prophecy that was needed for later generations was written down. So, how many Jews left Israel, left Egypt? 2 million. So that means there could be as many as 4 million prophets. And the reason in those days was they did not have access to the written word of God. Even after Moses got the Torah up on the Mount, you know, the first five books of the Bible up on Mount Sinai, every person didn't have a printing press. The king wrote out his own copy of the Torah, but the people, ordinary people, didn't have access to the Word of God. So they went to the prophets, and the prophets would go to God, inquire of God, and the prophets then would speak to them. So of these millions of Jews, the prophecies of only 48 men and 7 women have been recorded in scriptures. Of these 55, in many cases, very few of their prophecies are recorded, sometimes as little as a sentence or two, but they're still from God and they still are prophets.
Think about, Billy, in the light of that, what a big deal it was on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost came on people.
Gloria.
Gives me goosebumps.
Thank God.
I've never thought about it exactly like that before, but think about what an amazing time that was.
Well, Gloria, we were talking last week. We have the guide inside. It says He is inside you to guide you. That's what it says in John chapter 16. But they didn't have the guide inside.
No.
Only the prophet, the priest, and the king were anointed by the Holy Ghost. So if they want to get any leading from God, they had to get it through somebody anointed. And they would go to these prophets and they would. Yeah. So what the Lord told Brother Hagin was, in the New Testament, it does not say as many as are led by prophets.
No.
They are the sons of God. It says in Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, who's on the inside of you, like Gloria brought out, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Mama.
I think he knew I'd have to have it that way to make it.
Everybody
bless
has
the
to
Lord.
Have that.
But so they had all these prophets. We have what their words of 55 of them were written in the Bible. And I want to read to you first. Now, we're going to skip over to New Testament times when the New Testament people were living, but they did not have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament written down. So Paul, writing to Timothy, says this in 2 Timothy 3:15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Which Holy Scriptures did he know? The Old Testament. By the time Timothy was growing up, they did have written down, they didn't have printing presses yet, but he had a mother and he had a grandmother who had access to the Scriptures. And so from a child, and then of course, Timothy, I'm sure he went to the synagogue and he heard them read, he heard the prophets read, and he heard the Torah read at the synagogue each week. "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And that word, all Scripture is given by inspiration, the Greek says all Scripture is God-breathed. So all those Scriptures that Paul says to Timothy, you knew the Scriptures since you were a child, all those Scriptures came by the Holy Ghost. And we see that now in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Well, we'll start with verse 19. In the New Testament, in this Scripture, 2 Peter 1:19, the Lord is calling through Peter, he's calling the people to pay attention to the Old Testament prophets. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. Peter said, "Now we were up on the Mount of Transpiration. We heard a voice speaking up there." But he said, "We've got something more sure than a voice speaking. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. In your hearts knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So writing in New Testament times, when the New Testament was being written, and Peter himself is writing a part of it right here, he said, you're going to do well if you pay attention to the Old Testament prophets. And actually, if you want to know when things are going to end up down here, it says in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and other places, that in book of Acts, things are going to, they're going to go on until the fulfilling of what the prophets have said. So to know what the prophets have said, you have to go primarily back to the Old Testament, which tells you about the Jews and the nations primarily. Mm-hmm. And so, the book of Psalms, there are five books of it. Our offer today is going to have those Psalms for you in five little books, which there are five divisions in the book of Psalms. The Psalms, the book of Psalms, Israel's songbook, of course, but they are the Psalms that were given by God, Holy Spirit moving on David, on Moses. The 91st Psalm was actually written by Moses, the one that we love so much. And then also the musicians, temple musicians, were given certain psalms. So the book of Psalms has them, and there are many prophecies in the Psalms, even though that's not Jeremiah, it's not Isaiah, it's David and Moses, and it's in the book of Psalms. And sometimes, we're going to read you a trilogy right now, three psalms in a row that are prophetic. And the first one that we're going to start with is Psalm 22. Psalm 22, bless the Lord here. I think you're going to recognize, see, there was a time, two-thirds of the Bible's prophecy, at least half, some say, and some say two-thirds. And there was a time when all that's written in the New Testament was prophetic. It had been prophesied in the Old Testament, but it had not been happened yet. So you're going to recognize right away what Psalm 22 is about. Let's just read just the first verse. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This 22nd Psalm is Jesus on the cross. And in fact, in the 22nd Psalm, which prophesies Jesus on the cross, it tells you more what happened spiritually than Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Mm. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell you they slit his side, they offered him vinegar, they spat on him. But this one tells you what he was feeling, and it prophesies everything that is going to happen. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That, of course, comes from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli. El is God. The I on the end of it says, my God. Eli, Eli. Lama is why. He's speaking here in Aramaic. Eli, Eli. Lama sabachthani. Why did you forsake me? I don't think that Jesus knew. In the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he agreed to come, I don't think he knew that it involved God forsaking him. But Jesus on that cross became sin. And God, at that point, turned his back on him. I don't think Jesus knew that part. But, praise the Lord, we're glad it turned out well. So now we'll go back to Psalm 22, and you can see that in Psalm 22, in the time of David, David is 3,000 years ago. Jesus is 2,000 years ago. So 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross, God gave this psalm to David. Eli, how do we know it's a psalm of David? It says so in the very first part of that. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm reading right now from the King James. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you hear not. And in the night season, I'm not silent. He was going into a night season there. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. These are actually things that Jesus was saying on the cross that you don't know until we get over there, until we read here. Our fathers trusted in thee. Let's skip down to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn.
Oh, Jesus.
They shoot out the lip. They shake the head at me, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him, and let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him. In the New Testament, it says how that, see, here's prophesied.
So they ridicule.
Yeah, they ridicule. In the New Testament then, in Matthew 27:39, it gives you the fulfillment. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself if you be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. See, but here it was prophesied.
They didn't know what they were doing.
And then we see it happen 1,000 years later. Let's go down in our King James to verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset round about me. They were the leaders of the Pharisees at the time. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. That's actually physically what he was going through on the cross, and it's prophesied 1,000 years before. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. You have brought me into the dust of death. Verse 16, dogs have compassed me about. That's the Gentiles. Gentiles were called dogs. And of course, the Romans were the Gentiles. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Of course, you know that happened. You yes. know how that happened. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. So we know that that happened in the New Testament. Matthew 27, 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So you see that the Psalms are prophetic, and now we know that it came to pass. And Jesus then said, I will, he's prophesying that he's going to rise from the dead in verse 12, Psalm 22, 12 in your King James. I will declare your name unto my congregation. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You that fear the Lord, praise him. And so we see going on as this whole Psalm 22 is a prophetic thing, even giving you the spiritual side and giving you the inside. And then we see it in the New Testament fulfilled. That's how prophecy is. Everything that the prophets said have to be fulfilled. Now, Psalm 22, that's prophetic of when Jesus was on the cross. Psalm 23 is now. That was Jesus on the cross. Psalm 23 is now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So that's the ministry of Jesus right now. Now, look at Psalm 24. That is future. Psalm 22 already happened on the cross. Psalm 23 right now, he's the shepherd. What is he in Psalm 24? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let's skip on down to verse 7. We're running out of time. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be you lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Praise so we God. See three psalms right here in a row, and they are connected. We're going to look at other psalms that are connected and have to do primarily with future and what
Billy.
You can see. I just wanted to give you a picture of how they are prophetic.
Praise God.
He's the future awesome. King of glory.
Glory to God.
Coming in.
You have 30 seconds. What would you like to say in 30 seconds?
Well, what I would like to say in 30 seconds is I would like for you to realize that there he was on the cross, prophetic, and then right now he's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. Mm-hmm. He's we do not want.
Praise
but we're
God.
Looking forward to the time when he's the coming King of glory. And he'll come from the heavenly Jerusalem down to the earthly Jerusalem. And he'll come through those gates, the King of glory.
Glory.
And earth will know its rightful King.
We'll be ready.
We are ready.
Glory to God.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.